the world. Verse 41, then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so the Savior again brings this contrast into our thoughts. The sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares. And a comparison is made. The righteous will inherit everlasting life. The righteous have peace with God, but the ungodly will perish. And the text that we have before us this evening again sets before us this contrast. It sets before us two ways, two paths, the way of the godly and the way of the ungodly.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. Welcome you to our program today. We're delighted to have you as we go now to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider our message, A Tale of Two Paths, Part 1.
The Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. So begins the famous novel of Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. A famous introduction that contrasts the opposites about certain things that we understand and experience in life. When we think of those contrasts, we can think of the contrast in the Word of God. The Word of God contains contrasts. Isaiah chapter 3, the verses 10 to 11, has such a contrast. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. And the Word of God reminds us very clearly that for the righteous it is well. It is good with the righteous. Those that love God, those who have repented of sin, those that are following Christ, it is well with them and well with their souls. But those who are not, those who are wicked, those who are on that path that leads to everlasting destruction, it is not well with them, it is ill. It is ill. I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Not only is this contrast in the Old Testament, but we find the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about these things. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, and the verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. And the Savior is explaining the parable that he has told them in previous verses. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And so the ungodly are described here as tares. Tares in the field. Things that will be taken out and burnt. And at the end of the world, this is what will happen to the ungodly. Those that have no faith in Christ. Those who are not assured of their salvation. Those who have never repented of sin. They will be taken out into everlasting destruction. Into the furnace of fire. And verse 43 gives us that great contrast. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The people of God. The children of Christ who have been redeemed and saved, they will enter into eternity to be with Christ, to serve Him. Oh, what a contrast. That same contrast is seen in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, the verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them, the sheep on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41, Then shall he say also unto them in the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And so the Savior again brings this contrast into our thoughts. The sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares, the ungodly and those that are righteous. And a comparison is made. The righteous will inherit everlasting life. The righteous have peace with God, but the ungodly will perish. And the text that we have before us this evening in the Psalm 1 again sets before us this contrast. It sets before us two ways, two paths. The way of the godly and the way of the ungodly. So Matthew Henry, the well-known Bible commentator, and when we considered something of Psalm 1, I think we did say this. He refers to this psalm as a psalm of instruction concerning good and evil, setting before us life and death, the blessing and the curse, that we may take the right way that leads to happiness and avoid that which will certainly end in our misery and ruin. And this psalm reminds us of that. It sets before us the godly way and that way of unrighteousness. And tonight, dear congregation, as we consider these things, there is a path set before you, a path of unrighteousness, a path of sin. There is a path set before you of righteousness. What path do you desire? What path are you walking? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Is that descriptive of you? Does that describe your life? Does that describe the state of your soul? Tonight I want us to consider, leaning back on our opening words, a tale of two paths. A tale of two paths. And firstly, I want you to see a path of blessedness. A path of blessedness. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We have a portrayal here of this blessed path. A path that makes one happy. That is what the term blessed here means. Happy is the man. And the man in view is a man who has forsaken the ungodly path. Man who loves the Lord. A man who is following the Lord. To find such a man in a sin-cursed and wicked world is a testimony to God's grace. This psalm reminds us, in the very opening verse then, of the grace of God in the lives of sinners. Because a man can only be blessed and happy and godly because of Christ. And because of the grace and the mercy of God. And dear believer this evening, do you rejoice in what Christ has done in your life? Do you rejoice that it was Christ who lifted you out of sin, who placed you on the solid rock, who took your feet off that broad road that leads to destruction, and placed your feet on the way of life, that narrow road that leads to heaven? Do you rejoice that this psalm can speak of you and of your testimony and of your life? Oh, that we would rejoice in what Christ has done for us. Oh, we would have that joy and thankfulness within our hearts that our Savior, in grace, in love, in mercy, redeemed you, redeemed I, redeemed us. Oh, the man here is blessed. Blessed because of Christ. Blessed because of Christ. Are you blessed because of Christ this evening? Are you blessed because Christ stepped in when you could not save yourself? When you could not redeem yourself? For salvation is not of man. Salvation is of God. Christ redeemed you. Oh, that he would get the glory. Oh, that as we consider this psalm, we would see the great wonder, the great contrast between our old life and our new life concerning what Christ the Savior has done for us. I want you to see as well the portrayal of this man, but also the activities on this blessed path. Here is a man who is active. This psalm tells us he is doing things. He's a man that is walking. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. His path is separate from this world. He does not seek the counsel or the advice of the ungodly. And that is an important thing. The man that walks with God, where does he find his advice in life? Where does he find his instruction? Where does he turn for help? He turns to the Lord. He turns to the Word of God. He does not turn to the ungodly. Now, this verse does not mean that if you have a problem with your car, you can't go to a mechanic who is not a Christian, because the Word of God says you're not to seek the counsel of the ungodly. That's not what it means. But when we come to spiritual matters, matters of the soul, those great decisions in life that have a spiritual bearing upon us, we're not to seek that advice and that guidance in life and how we are to live and how we are to serve God from those who are ungodly. We're to be separate from them. And dear believer this evening, why are we not to walk in those ways. We're not to walk in the advice of the ungodly, because their advice is not built upon the Word of God. Their counsel is not from God. Their counsel is built on atheism and on evolution and upon different faiths and false religions, built upon man's ideas and man's pride and man's ego. And therefore, as the believer, we're to avoid these things. We're to flee from them. Oh, how man has his ideas about Christ and about Christianity. We're to flee from those things. Our spiritual instruction is to come from the Word of God. That Word that God has given to us. That Word that is inspired. That Word that is sufficient for our needs. And that reminds us as well that because the Word of God is sufficient for us, it's all we need. Therefore, do we need the advice of the ungodly? No, because God has given us something that is sufficient. Dear believer, let us seek the instruction of God concerning our way in life and spiritual matters. He does not seek the counsel of the ungodly, but he is also one who separates himself from sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The psalmist said in Psalm 26 verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. And when we think of that word vain, it is vain in the sense of idolatry and wickedness and falseness. The psalmist is saying, I have not sat with those who are false, those who are idolaters, those who are engaged in wickedness and the promotion of falsehood. Dissemblers refers to secret things. He is not standing in these things. He is separate from them. Separate from them. We're not to follow the way of the sinner. We're not to live in the sins they commit. Why? Because our old man has been cleansed. We now have a new man in Christ Jesus. We now have a new master. We now have a new purpose to serve the Lord. And the blessed man here has a path that takes him close to God. The hymn writer said, oh, for a closer walk with God. May that be our prayer, that we would have a walk, a path that brings us close to God. Well, we can think in Scripture of those men who walked with God. Enoch walked with God. We can think of Elijah. We can think of others, and their walk with God was so dear, so blessed, so close. David, the psalmist, a man after God's own heart. Oh, that that would be said of us, that we would be men and women after God's own heart because we love him so, because there's this great bond with our God who saved us. And part of that is fleeing sin and avoiding sin, and being the furthest away from sin that we can. I've mentioned before, but the Puritan preacher Thomas Brooks had a treatise, a book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. And he goes through all the different devices that Satan uses to tempt us into sin. Now, devices, we're not talking about an iPad or a phone or whatever. We're talking about the devices that someone has, his means, the things he does, the plans he has to tempt us into sin. Of course, I think today it could be iPhones, and phones are the devices he uses as well. But these schemes that he has, the devil is one who deals in deceit and trickery and seeks to trick us into sin and tempt us into sin. And Thomas Brooks goes through a great list of all those devices. Oh, he says, Satan will come and he will have the sin. And the sin is dangling there. As if you're like a fish, he makes that illustration. The bait is there. The sin is there. It's there in front of you. Like the fish, and the bait is hanging there off the rod. And the fish comes and it takes the bait. What happens to the fish? The bait is on a hook. Oh, the beet looks nice. It looks delicious. And the fish comes and takes the bait, but he also takes the hook. And he's caught. And Thomas Brooks said, Satan will take the bait of sin. He'll present it well. He'll make the pleasures of sin look marvelous and wonderful. He'll present fun and enjoyment and pleasure to your soul. But underneath, what is there? There's a hook. A hook that you don't see. A hook that you may be oblivious to and blinded to because you're focusing on the great enjoyment of that sin. And as you partake in that sin, Satan has you. And you're hooked. And you face the wrath of God for that sin. He warns as well against Satan saying that, oh, it's an easy thing. An easy thing to repent. Just do the sin. Then you can pray, God, I'm sorry. It's easy. He makes repentance out to be an easy thing. Just say, I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. I apologize. I'm sorry. Satan seeks to make repentance to be an easy thing. Thomas Brooks deals with that. He gives remedies. He gives ways in which we are to flee sin. We're to flee it. We're to be the furthest away from it. Dear believer, this evening, flee sin. Flee the temptation of sin. Seek the Lord for strength to flee those sins that are tempting to you. We're not to follow sin. We're not to stand in the way of sinners. There should be a difference. The believer should be different than the world. Different in dress and appearance. That may not always be the case. It's an outward thing. But the believer should be modest. The believer should, in their life and speech and actions, be different from the world. The believer in the workplace should be different than the world. Oh, how the world complains about work. How those in the world seek to have an easy time at work and not to do work. I remember one time working for Royal Mail, and the person that I was working with, we had one section, we had one route to do each, but we shared. So I did half a route, he did half a route. I did another half a route, he did half a route. And it was all connected together, very different than Canada Post. And I'm working away, working hard to get finished in time. He had to go somewhere. He was going down to the city, and he needed to be away. And I'm running around, delivering my mail, hoping to finish up and to get home. I had a meeting to take that night. I was up at 4 a.m. I wanted to get a little nap and look over things and go to the meeting. And I'm rushing to get done. And I finish. I look to see where he is. He'd started his route, and he had stopped about the third house and was talking to somebody. And for all the time I was running round, he was talking and talking and talking. And he comes back to the van, and he says, well, I need to go. Well, somebody's not getting their mail. Someone's not getting their parcel, because he spent about half an hour talking. And so not everyone in the world has such an attitude. But if our purpose in life is to glorify God, we'll want to get that work done for the glory of God, as a testimony to Christ. Things may happen we can't prevent, but we'll desire to get that done for the glory of God. He just sat there leaning against the fence talking. And people didn't get their mail, they didn't get their bills, they also didn't get their checks. Dear believer, we're to be different than the way of sinners. We're to stand out. We're to be noted for our work ethic. We're to be noted for the manner of our speech.
Our devotional message from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening is taken from John 1, verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received. And of his fullness have all we received. These words tell us that there is a fullness in Christ. There is a fullness of essential deity, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. There is a fullness of perfect manhood, for in him, bodily, that Godhead was revealed. There is a fullness of atoning efficacy in his blood, for the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is a fullness of justifying righteousness in his life, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is a fullness of divine prevalence in his plea, for he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There is a fullness of victory in his death, for through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. There is a fullness of efficacy in his resurrection from the dead, for by it we are begotten again unto a lively hope. There is a fullness of triumph in his ascension, for when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and received gifts for men. There is a fullness of blessings of every sort and shape, a fullness of grace to pardon, of grace to regenerate, of grace to sanctify, of grace to preserve, and of grace to perfect. There is a fullness at all times, a fullness of comfort in affliction, a fullness of guidance in prosperity, a fullness of every divine attribute, of wisdom, of power, of love, a fullness which it were impossible to survey, much less to explore. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Oh, what a fullness must this be, of which all receive. Fullness indeed must there be when the stream is always flowing, and yet the well springs up as free, as rich, as full as ever. Come, believer, and get all thy needs supplied. Ask largely, and thou shalt receive largely, for this fullness is inexhaustible, and is treasured up where all the needy may reach it, even in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. You've been listening today to Let the Bible Speak. I'm your host, Pastor Andrew Fitton, and we are delighted to have you join with us and to tune in to our program today. We trust that it has been a blessing to you, and that as you've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed the Lord would bless that message to your soul. Join us again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station as we let the Bible speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.